So welcome to everyone. Today, I want to introduce my guest, Bob Jaco from Australia. He is editor-in-chief of Co-Creation Magazine, founder of Co-Creation Global, an emerging enterprise dedicated to changing global consciousness. And this is why I introduced him, so it fits very well in the topic of the Conscious Evolution Summit. He also is a channel for 60 years for source consciousness called Signals of Love, transmitting wisdom and understanding about co-creation and unity consciousness. He has also over 45 years experience in the field of energy medicine, teaching and coaching in business, medical and generic intuition and creativity. And it's really such a pleasure to welcome you today to the Conscious Evolution Summit, Bob.
Thank you, Priya. And I'm so delighted that to be here with you today and to be able to discuss whatever, you know, you feel is your listeners and your audience wish to know. And thank you.
Wonderful. And maybe, Bob, you can give us a bit a brief or a brief understanding of what in life brought you to co-creating this co-creation magazine. So where is your passion about this topic? Basically that now...
Priya, I have to go back 60 years to answer that question. It probably started when I was 10. And I was in a, we're Polish immigrants that came to Australia just after the war. My father was an alcoholic, and he was a wife beater and a bob beater. Bob used to get a lot of beatings in those days, mainly because I was a really, I wouldn't back down. I would always try to get the last word in. And the last word meant a second beating. But, you know, after years and years of that sort of behavior, you get worn down and you become a reclusive. You know, I started to go into myself, so to speak. And so what happened then was I started to get this voice that started, it's like a conversation with myself, if you like, but it was different. It was something, it was engaging, it was loving, it was wisdom, and it was direction. So all of these things arrived in my thing, and that happened when I was around 10, and I started to get impulses or messages to explore the world of the unknown. And right up to today, you know, today that, you know, when I discovered in 2016 that voice was really nothing other than an aspect of myself, which is, you could say, we all are connected to one source, and that when we discover that place, you could say the source of everything, the creation, the co-creator of everything. It's a different, your eyes and your ability to see the world simply changes and shifts. Mm-hmm. And, in 2000, I actually retired from all work. From teaching and everything else, because my wife was not so well, and we decided to just live in the present moment, just experience everything just as it came. But we built this house, we traveled, we had fun with the dogs, we'd go for breakfast, we'd go to lunches, but we just didn't have to do anything. We didn't need to work. We were fortunate in that respect. And we just had that 16-year period of just listening, being in a place of it's inner work to discover how you affect the outer world, how your inner intentions, choices, begin to affect the outer work. It was a really interesting 16 years of observing and experiencing this whole process of co-creation, how it really works, the mechanics of it, the understanding of it. And it came about that in 2016, I was mowing the lawn, and Sol, which we have, I'm a conversational channel. That means that when we bring Sol through, it's a voice system, and it talks through me, just like we're doing at this moment in time. And, Sol will answer questions and have a conversations like we're doing at the same time. The inflections of languaging are slightly different, but in a sense, it comes from the energy is completely different. You could say when Sol delivers not just wisdom and voice information, it delivers a transformational experience, a transmutational experience, and indeed a healing experience. Mm-hmm.
So what you call soul is signals of love, you said to me, yeah.
Well, we had a discussion on this because people love to name things, you know, they like labels. And Sol said, well, we're nothing but consciousness. We are pure, pure love. And we are just you. You know, you've just forgotten that we are you. And the fact that you have been separated, and as all humanity has been separated from this source that is just pure love, and it's from that place, when you understand how it works, that we engage and experience everything in our physical world. We have a choice. We either do it unconsciously, we still do it. It doesn't mean we're not co-creating. It just means we don't know we're co-creating. But when you change the switch and you switch it to, hey, there's a power, there's an omnipotent presence in me that can, if I can find that switch, will change my life forever and the lives of other people forever. And so in 2016, when Sol gave me this big vision plan, about changing global consciousness, I sat there and said, well, this is just me by myself sitting in the kitchen, staring out the window and going, how am I going to do this? Yeah. How am I going to do this? And I sat on it for nearly 15 months, just didn't do anything, because that vision plan was actually 24 pages. And it was a precise plan. It was, stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, stage five, and stage six. And just about, it's almost as though it was written and designed. So I just simply log in and start the process. But I said, well, I can't do this by myself. So as I do, Sol and I sat down and had another conversation. I said, you want me to do this? Okay. You supply the material, the people, the conditions, the money, and everything else. You provide all the resources. And I'm in. Okay. So I said, okay, this is going to be interesting. And so, now this was actually, where are we now? We're in May. It was in July of last year. Now, July of last year, I was sitting at a kitchen table, nothing. And since then, we have, I've got a magazine and I've launched a magazine. We have a group of people here in Australia who is, you could say the management team. These are people that found their way to me with experience in strategic marketing, with experience in videography, with experience in raising funds, with experience in charities, and I have a team, an evolving team, in the US and Zambia, all over the world, that is building in the field of social media marketing. These people have just all found their way to me. And you see, when you're building an enterprise of this sort, you can't do it by yourself. You need all that experience. You need all that expertise to build on that. And this is just the beginning. You know, we're only 9 months in and we've gone so far, but we still have a 30-year program to roll out. So, you know, the challenge is to how are we going to connect and collect 300 million people that come from the same vibrational space? And let me explain it this way. Right now, the planet is going through what I call the age of collectivism, that people are becoming binding together in groups, but their groups, their political movements, their social movements, their ecological movements, their climate movements, all sorts of movements, in order to create specific changes in specific areas. There, of course, there's the spiritual movements and very similar groups to us that are in the what I call unity consciousness. You know, they're all talking the same language. But they're all over here in little pods, you know, doing their little things. And, you know, we have an interesting world where humankind has given up its power. It's not the first time it's done it. You know, we, in medieval periods, there was the robber barons and the serfs and nothing else in between. And if you open your eyes and you see the world, most people will see, what's broken. I don't, I see the possibilities, because inside the broken is the platform for repair, for healing. And everything else. So there's a great opportunity right now to bring people together and to heal themselves. And if they heal themselves, they heal others. Now, let's look at the dynamics of size. When a person comes to me and says, I'm broken and I've got a problem, the first thing I do is look at me, because that person is a mirror to me. They are me in a different body. They're reflecting to me parts of me that I've yet not discovered and haven't seen. And that's where we start learning to be able to see ourselves and other people. Now, rather than being a healer, and I learned this very quickly within about a year or two in clinical practice, I wasn't there to heal other people. I was there to fix myself. I was just simply the instrument of that. When I fixed myself, all those parts of me, because those people were all mirrors of me, you know, whether they came in as a bad bag. Beneath the structure of the bad bag were things that they were experiencing, energy, emotions and experiences way back in their past, which were actually very similar to mine. Not exactly, but very similar. And I realized, of course, that they were there to basically help me understand. And it's all a personal transformation journey, no matter what your label is, no matter what your job is. It's about you and it's about your growth. And the job is just simply a catalyst for that particular thing and event to happen. So having discovered that, I realized, of course, and the soul said this, he said, you've got all these people. And imagine that to change the world, everybody's got to hear this. Let's call it the co-creation concerto, just for a point of view. But this concerto has got the option and the opportunity to change the hearts of all mankind. But at the moment, parts of the orchestra are all playing their version of it in different halls. For example, strings are playing in one hall, percussion's playing in another hall, woodwinds are playing in the third hall, and brass are playing in another hall. Have you ever heard an orchestra trying to play a concerto in their own bits? It's not really that great. You know, the strings are quite tinny, and, you know, the brass, it just doesn't meld. But when you put all the orchestra into one hall, the music just comes out. And it's the music, if you understand the vibration effect of music, when people are in that hall listening to that concerto, they are totally immersed in the energy. And what I was trying to get to is that when we take 300 million people and put them into that hall, that energy bubble, and they're all playing that same music, the effect on the rest of the planet can do nothing but transform and heal. Okay? Because they're coming from one space. We as a species are still tribal. We don't truly understand fully in our present cultures how to share, how to integrate. We're learning that. In fact, most of the ancient cultures knew how to do that, how to share, how to live with the land and everything else. We've lost that when we moved into cities and concrete jungles, and we've lost connection to the earth. And so the music's out there, we're just not listening to it. As most people don't listen to their own inner voices, because there's so much white noise that gets in the way, so much in the way of belief systems, programs and everything else, but also the white noise of everything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. And to actually...
I just have a question in between, because you mentioned this necessity to be really in the same frequency. And I just wonder, is we connecting with our heart and we being really conscious of our of oneness, and we are vibrating in this unity consciousness, is this already we being in the same frequency, or is anything else needed?
That's an interesting question, because it one that poses that, first of all, you're aware that you are source. Okay, that's the shift. The awareness alone is a good stepping stone. If you recognize and you agree that you are source, as an extension of source, and why are you here? That's a question a lot of people ask. Why are we here? Well, there's a man called Einstein who actually tried to answer the theory of everything. That was his total world, his total desire is to produce not EMC squared, but the theory of everything. Well, the theory of everything is that we are extensions of source, and we are here to experience everything. And there isn't a good, bad, or indifferent everything. It's just simply an experience. So when we are experiencing the everything, in most of the world, they experience it, but they don't see that they are the actual producers of that experience. Okay? So if we are the extensions of source, and source grows by extension, that when you create an experience, source gets that immediately. Okay? And you've multiplied by that by 7.6 billion people per second, or per macrosecond, and you see that conduit of experience allows source to grow. But, you know, we're only one part of the picture. We're only one small part of the picture. What about all the other life forms that exist in all the multi-universes that are working at the same time? So we're just simply conduits of that experience. We're part of that experience. And we are because we are separated from that, we don't understand that. The moment we open up to accepting that we are one consciousness, which means it's rather hard because you and I are in different blobs of flesh, and you look different, I look different. We can't see inside the parts of us that one connection. To think. Secondly, we don't experience the same thing at the same time because our little brain boxes and our neurology can't handle it. So all these experiences are actually, when they may mean we are one consciousness and we are all connected, we are all connected because we're all extensions of that one source in a physical body, and we are co-creating all these experiences. And they're just simply being shunted back to wherever they're shunted back to. So when we discover that we're omnipotent, we're not programmed, we can get out of all that stuff. We discover a part of ourselves which is infinite, pure love. And that's basically the part that begins to change all people and all cultures and all collectives. The moment they move into the love vibration, their patterns of behavior and actions change. Now, this is a critical point because it's our patterns, behaviors, and actions which affect our reality. The way the world works, the way our political systems work, the way our monetary systems work, the way we behave towards each other, the way we produce wars and lack and all of those things. Everything that everybody would look at in terms of negative, we produce because we're in separation from the source and the love that we are. Now, the moment you can move from that space into the other space, you're in a different vibration, and therefore the way you act and behave shifts. Now, if it starts with one person, that's a beginning. But if we can get 10 in that space, or a million, or 100 million, or 300 million, and why do I keep coming back to 300 million? I'll explain in a minute. But if we can get those sort of people working together, the effect on that is... it's almost as though 300 million people have healed themselves and discovered the origins of their true nature. That has an effect on the rest of the world, on everything, on the whole population. That's what is called soul calls a tipping point. And there is a mathematical base. It's based on base 12 mathematics. And there is a finite way of determining that, but from soul's point of view, it says, look, just use that as a figure. So if we can get that 300 million people and they come from a space of a vibrational space of understanding that they are consciousness and they are conscious of being consciousness, then we will, everything that everybody's doing, climate change, ecological disasters and everything else begins to shift in a way, and it shifts quickly because suddenly we discover solutions to all of our problems, which are all the problems created from separation. You see, I'm really trying to boil this down to one core thing. We're in separation.
And there comes another question. So because you said you brought this metaphor of really coming together as an orchestra in one room. I mean, we are not able to gather in one physical room, but we can kind of really gather like we do in different events in a virtual room, like we do in a summit, or what you try to kind of bring together with your co-creation global platform. But I mean, there are already, as you mentioned, events happening here, events happening there, people gathering here and there. And what is the difference, what you try to to basically provide or to create differently than what it is happening already?
Well, the it's not so much the difference, it's the way people perceive other groups or pods. They're not quite sure of how to share, how to interact, because the primary underneath thing is giving up something. It's, you know, that's their thing that they've created. They haven't really created it. They've co-created. Everything on this, in the physical duality experience, is co-creation. And so often they find it very difficult to share or to give up, or what they think they're giving up. Because at the end of the day, when they leave this mortal coil, it's all gone anyway. So it's an illusion anyway. So, but nevertheless, they tend to feel that they've got to have this thing that they've created, and they find it difficult to give it up. And it's very much a tribal instinct. You know, we've got one tribe over here and we've got one tribe over there. They're still humans and they may speak different languages, but, you know, there is a commonality that we can get to. And that is an agreeing on the fact that we're just simply one thing. We're one consciousness in different bodies, maybe talking different languages. But if we can find that common ground to say, well, can we give up the need to have our own thing? Can we combine resources? Can we share the information? Can we build platforms? Doesn't matter how many platforms, but platforms that all say the same thing. The ecology of it is not decisive. I mean, we're still working this out. But the room is a metaphor for a place, a bubble, an energy field, where all these people sit and come together. You know, there could be leaders of different groups who bring different groups with them, who all agree that working as one is better than working as many individual components. Okay? One has much more power. That one brings with it all the subcomponents with it. And so, you know, that one person who has a collective of a million people, they bring in another collective that has a million people. So there's 2 million people. Okay, so 2 million people has much more resource, much more effect than 1 million people. 100 million people is actually even better. But what I try to do is to convince people, not convince them, is show them that they give up nothing in order to come together. In fact, it's a greater benefit for them and the planet. If they do, they have much more power at 300 million people than they have at 3 million people. Can you imagine the immense spiritual energy and the effect on governments, on political systems, on the ecology, on every institution we've ever co-created on this planet, where that could have an effect? But you need that total commitment, if you like, that total agreement of these people, that that's who they are. Mm-hmm. They now recognize that they are a source. They are all one source. They are recognizing that they can build the world from love as opposed to fear. And when they do that, you'll see separation melt away. You'll see governments of autocracies disappear. You'll see world councils based on wisdom begin to appear. You'll see a completely different thing. I don't know when that's going to happen. Humanity determines its own trajectory. Mm-hmm. And so if humanity decides that they are going to co-destruct, well, game over. Because there's no rules have said that humanity is here forever. You know, we co-create. The duality of co-creation is co-destruction. You know, we could just as easily just pop off. Or, as I said to somebody else, you know, the earth doesn't need humans. You know, we disappeared overnight. The planet would say, well, that was an interesting experiment. Let's go and create a new species and repopulate the planet. Maybe it's going to be a little bit more peaceful. Okay. But let me just share with you one thing that I'd like the audience to take away with them. And it's the basis of the teachings that we're going to be producing over the next, within the next 6 months. And that is, how do you move from the space of where you are to the space of being source consciousness? And this is where I actually play in this little place quite often, particularly when I'm working with Source to manifest things for Co-Creation Global. And how I do it is it's not visualization, it's not meditation. I've never really been really into meditation. All this stuff that is inside me seems to have just come naturally. And I think it does. I think people are organically wired to be able to get into this stuff quite quickly. If they're shown how and why, what's the benefit of being able to access of, you know, all this information that sits out in, it's not sits out there, it's inside of us. It's hard to determine what source consciousness is, because it's inside, it's outside, it's everywhere. That if you understand that source consciousness is the sum total of every bit of information that will ever exist and does exist in a non-time frame, we can tap into that. If we are clear, if we are intentionally directed, and if we are able to shift from being local Bob to source Bob, if I can use the difference. And so what I do is I simply move into that space and I am source. Just, that's it. I am source consciousness, co-creator of everything. And in that space, when I'm there, that's where I work. That's where my work begins. And that's where I see the effects of my work in the physical world. And let me share with you, those effects are quick and they are big. I have been given and I am choosing to take on a really big mission. Really big. And it's been challenging. And it was rather frightening at the beginning. Overwhelming is more the precise word. But now that I'm in it, and then I totally trust soul or source to provide me with the inspiration, the answers, the solutions, and indeed the people and resources we agreed to do, then I have no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that within the next 30 years, and I hope it's quicker because I'll be 101 by then, that we can achieve our goals, our directions, our intentions.
And I have a question to go a bit in the detail, because I find this very interesting, because we can kind of be more identified or having attention to what you said, our local personality, the local Bob, or to source Bob. And I just found it very interesting to also take care of kind of the field which they both share, or the relationship they have. And I just wonder, because my observation is that in a way, when my attention is really more focused on my source being, I just observe that kind of quite naturally, without effort, possibilities or tools or people appear in my life which support my local self maturing to be able to match more and more the capacity and the consciousness of source consciousness. This is kind of how I would try to explain it. And I just wonder if you have a similar experience, or what would you say supports that they kind of really aren't and that separate anymore? Because I just found it feels as if it's just different level of operating inside of me, and I can access them really consciously.
Well, to answer your question, in fact, which is really an observation of your own experience, is that it's a very similar experience. In one way, the key word here is an old girlfriend of mine called flow. When you work from the higher perspective of source consciousness, you actually work in flow. How do I describe that? Okay. If you take, let's say, you know, if you get on a river and, you know the river cuts its way through mountains and valleys, and eventually the river is going to the sea. If your objective is getting to the sea, you just get on a canoe and just, go with the flow. But at local mind level, humans get a pick and shovel and they start digging a ditch. And then they go to the bottom of a hill with a bucket of water and start pouring it down and hoping that the water will create enough momentum to cut and turn it into a river to cut its way to the hill. And then they say, well, not enough water, so back up to the top of the hill, more water, and then back down the bottom of the hill and more digging and cutting in the ditches. And that is hard work. Now, if you understand that at local mind level, because it's a limited mind, all your mind at local mind level is exactly what you experience since the day you entered into physicality. That's all you have. Over here, and the work and effort you put in, now that doesn't mean it's not successful. You can dig ditches and you can pour water down and you can still create a river, but it's going to take you a long time. There's a lot of effort involved in that. Okay, so that's 80% perspiration and 20% inspiration. Now, you go over to here, and, we're working with source, and source says, yeah, you want to create a river? Right, here's a spring. Voila. The spring opens up and it pours down the mountain and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and suddenly the spring turns into a river, it cuts its way to the sea, and okay, so right, jump on and go with it. And so working from source, and this is what I discovered, and it's something very similar to what you're discovering, is that it's 80% inspiration and 20% perspiration. Or effort. We still have to do some actions, but the actions are minimal. The two things I've discovered in 60 years of working with source, working with soul, is patience. You have to wait for things to show up, and it takes time. Secondly, is trust. You really have to trust and stick with that inspiration, that intention. Clarity is also important, being very clear on what it is you want to achieve. We are great intentionalists, we are great manifestors, but we often manifest things that we don't want just as easily as the things we do want. So clarity in purpose. In many ways, the evolution of us at local level is to a degree influenced by our conscious awareness that we are source. So as we introduce this into our local experience and understanding and actions, we grow. We move beyond our limitations and we grow even further. Now, with growth comes the release, and we begin to understand that all of our limitations are self-imposed. We unconsciously or subconsciously choose to hang on to what are typically memories of experiences that we've embellished and created as stories. And we become very comfortable with these stories, these limitations, even though they are causing pain and suffering and struggle. We are very comfortable with them. We like to talk about our fears. We like to talk about our illnesses. We become those facets of the multidimensional humans that we are. And so when we begin to start looking at, this struggle thing sucks. I don't really want to do it anymore. Then we begin to discover why we have self-imposed, subconsciously, of course, all this ceiling that's with us. The moment we can move into, I downloaded an invocation from Sol. I think I may have sent it to you, about releasing limitations. And basically, if you understand that you are the creator of every experience, what you create, you can uncreate. You can reverse it. You can eliminate it. You can get rid of it. And all it is a conversation between you and you. Little Bob or Local Bob and Source Bob. Okay, let me use that. It's a conversation between you and you.
Unfortunately, we're really kind of coming to the end of our time together. I don't want to stretch that too long. And of course, you have so much to share, and you have a platform where a lot of what you, your wisdom, what you are transmitting and offering people will be shared in a beautiful way. But I just want to give you at the end the opportunity to ask for what you would like to see from people or how they can approach you or how they can co-create with you.
Well, at the moment, because we're building the new platform, the best place to contact me is through my Facebook Messenger. I'm my own personal timeline, just Bob Jaco, or through the Co-Creation Magazine. That's co-creationmagazine.com. They can contact me directly through that sphere. And that's probably the best way. But what I'd like to say is that if I set an intention for all of the people that are listening, watching, and looking at, guys, you want to change this planet. You want to change the lives and the future of your children. Listen to your hearts. Listen to the fact that you are source consciousness right now. There's no other place to be. You've always been that. Look for it and discover it. Listen to your inner selves. It is really easy when you set that intention. And then later on, when we will be producing courses on how to play in this environment and actually how to start truly understanding how co-creation works, co-manifestation, and all of those sort of things in a way that's so simple. Most people think, well, it can't be that simple. Well, it is. You know, we tend to, as a species, tend to look for complexity when it's not there, because we think that, you know, we can find the answers to the solutions in complexity, when it's really quite basic and very simple. You are source consciousness, and that's the end of it. Just become conscious that you are that. And with that, begin to love, start with loving yourself as you are, in every facet of where you are. And those bits of you that aren't so great, or your lives aren't so great, then ask Source, that place of the total creation, to change that for you. Because I will guarantee you it will, because you are that. You've always been that. You can change anything. Anything. Because you're not, you know, I talk about potential. You know, everybody's got this potential to be bigger than they are. It's actually more than that. You are omnipotential, omnipotent, that is greater than even potential. So find that omnipotence in yourselves, and then tap into that frequency for love. And let me tell you what love is. Love is a universal currency. You basically take love and you transmute it into anything you want. Anything. You see, if you're open to receiving it, and you open your heart to receive it, then everything is available to you. You just have to be clear on what you want. That helps. But when you begin to open your hearts to receive it, we can then begin to receive at whatever level we want to receive. And there's no limits. We impose our own limits. So I often ask that, you know, in this venture that I'm looking at, no limits. I will not stop at 300 million. I will not stop at 300 million. I will keep going. And if I have to be 150 to finish this project, then so be it. Thank you, Maria. I am so delighted to be on the show, and I hope the audience have a little fun in looking at our little presentation. And anybody who would like to invite me on for a chat, I'm game for it. And also, the other thing is that if anybody who likes hosting other people, they want to interview Sol, we're up for it. Okay. We sort of ran out of time today, and I would have loved to jump in there with that, but, you know, maybe another time. How's that? That we can leave that open for another session if that's what you'd like.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Bob, for inspiring us, motivating us, helping to remember, and you reminding us really on our full capacity, our potential. I really enjoyed our time together, and I'm really sure that this will not be our last conversation. So I'm really called to co-create with you together. And thank you for you listening to our conversation. I hope you also take really some inspiration home and we'll also bring it into your action. So see you in the summit and have a good time. Thank you.
Thank you, Perea. Thank you so much.